Shalom uvracha.
Hello and welcome. This is going to be a special talk on the rise in anti-Semitism in the United States with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello.
Shalom, shalom.
Hello, everyone. And Norma Livne. Hello. And we'd really like to talk about what's going on in the United States in regard to anti-Semitism. According to an article published on Forbes, anti-Semitism is at an all-time high. With all respect to Black Lives Matter, there are many more hate crimes against Jews than against any other minority. The article explains that we should deal with this through education. However, the biggest educational system in the country, in California, does the complete opposite. It put together a study program where students get to know the different ethnical groups in the United States, but Jews are not a part of these groups. Moreover, Jews are considered to be a group that enjoys the white privileges. As a part of their studies, students will have to write how the Jews and the Irish reach their racial advantage. How did they become sort of superior to others in American society? They'll have to do some critical thinking about how is it developing and why? And since there's no hate against the Irish people in the United States, but against Jews, there is, obviously, what's going to happen as a result of this critical thinking. From the perspective of the extreme right, the Jews are false whites that stay in America. The leftists see them as a white elite that wants to control anyone who's not white. And we understand that it's not going in a positive direction. So the first question to you, Dr. Lightman, is, were you an American Jew? How would you explain to the American people, to the ordinary public, non-Jews, about the Jews that live amongst them? Because right now we see that Jews have a very difficult time to explain their position, situation. As an American Jew, what would you tell American society? It's hard for me to directly give an answer because this is a very complicated topic and it demands lots of preparation for the speakers and listeners. So take any position, perspective that's more convenient for you. American Jews, for the past 100 years, went through many changes in American society, from a state where they were socially excluded, they were in the margins, and they could only do business, and they couldn't be engaged in politics or, you know, go to places where only gentlemen can go to. And up to the point where they breached all of these boundaries and went into politics and to all those places of government and so on. And they didn't realize the opportunity that they had in a good and correct direction, but only in order to benefit themselves in terms of business and control. And therefore, we see them in different places, on different levels. Besides one thing, that they have determined for themselves, they didn't give themselves a good name in American society, neither did they get correctly organized in a good way in American society. as opposed to different other populations, they didn't feel that they're connected in any way with one another. And if they did get organized, then it was only in order to gain benefits, succeed, but not in order to build out of themselves and become, toward the general American public, some kind of positive image or character. In relation to Jews, there's always a question of who are they, what are they, and why do they exist altogether? Why are we all the time paying attention to them? Why are they so conspicuous? They didn't learn how to answer that. They weren't taught. They didn't try to build a positive image out of themselves. And therefore now, they feel it already on their flesh. I'm not sure that they understand, but to me it is obvious that all in all, what happened here is a result of serious neglection in national education among American Jews. Besides, they've also encouraged, let's call it, factions among American Jews to go against each other. They incited them at each other, and so their forces dispersed in all directions. You're talking about different qualities of the Jewish American community. What is its uniqueness compared to other communities, Jewish communities in the world? That they're disputed and that there's hate and alienation between them and even greater rejection between them than with other nations or between other nations and other factions and parts of the American population, that's obvious. What's unique about them? What are you asking? What's the difference? Because what you're telling, it's something that could also have to do with the community in Germany or in Chile. Right, but nowhere did Jews get such freedom and abilities to build themselves, to get organized like in America. Nowhere did they get such freedom and abilities, opportunities, and they really took it. And when I visited the United States more than once and I talked to American Jews and I told them that soon this will all come to an end and there will be an outbreak of hate and criticism, they said, to us it's not important. We're organized well enough in order to deal with all of this. Is it something to their benefit or to the contrary? It's a feeling that they felt that they're greater than life itself. The pride, it was really felt from all of them. How were they supposed to use it as an advantage? Well, here too, it's the Jewish character that Jewish nature, that wherever it can grow, succeed, use, benefit, it uses all of these things. I think that pride really developed, especially maybe in the past 10 or 20 years. This is where it's mostly evident. In those years when Jews started rising, we saw that they made many attempts to integrate in American society. They changed Judaism for it to fit, very similar to what happened in Germany, by the way. They changed Judaism for it to suit America. And also different concepts like Tikkun Olam, the correction of the world, were they adapted it to the United States so that they said that the correction of the world, Tikkun Olam for Jews, isn't that they have to be laid on to the nations now, but it is a state of a just and moral society and of equality. a society of equality. And we saw that they're becoming more and more active in different human rights organizations and so on. And I think that that came, at least I think that that came from a desire to be like everyone, to be Americans, to be ordinary people, to assimilate in the American society. We see that in recent years, it's more and more evident that it simply doesn't work. They're labeled all over, and there's a surge in anti-Semitism, even regardless of Israel. Meaning no matter what they try to do, the left say you're not white, the rightists say that you're elitists, meaning they're being pushed out of society. Why? This comes from the depth of nature, that we're really different. We're a unique race, a unique species in human society. You can't compare a Jew, wherever that is, to any other race of people. You can't. There are the 70 nations of the world. Today you can count 200 nations in the world, doesn't matter how many, and still Jews stand out. They stand out. They have something that you can't erase. It's the character of the nation. It's a special nation. Since the beginning of time and to this day, until the end of our development, they have a special role and a special character, and they have to remain that way. They have no choice. This is something that comes from nature. It doesn't depend on people. And no matter how much Jews wanted to suit themselves to Christians, to anyone else, it didn't work and won't work because it's determined by nature that we're different and that this is how it's going to be forever. So if we're different than any other nation, living in a non-Jewish society, how are they supposed to deal with it? Instead of hiding who they are, they actually have to correctly make themselves stand out and to show the right, a new, correct approach to mankind, to the world, the opposite to what exists now. They have to show how to love your neighbor as yourself, that people are friends, that all people have to be connected, united in a good and nice way, and that this is their religion, that this is their approach, up to the point where everyone is interconnected in one society, mutually, in reciprocity, that there's no longer need to be greater or better than anyone else, but there has to be equality as a common goal. This is what Jews have to bring to the world, and they're doing the opposite. So, all in all, what they're doing is that they're exacerbating hate against themselves, and eventually they fail. But this is actually what they're trying to do with all the human rights organizations and liberals and so on. They're trying to equalize everyone. Every person from whatever race, religion, it's all on an egoistic background. That's it. It's all egoistic, in short. From the inside, they feel that this is the direction in which they have to go. But it doesn't work for them. What's the right way to do it? They're not really working to the benefit of human rights, to the benefit of equality between people. They're not working on bringing people closer together. They're doing it in order to get a better and more convenient atmosphere for themselves out of it. Those people that their rights, that they're trying to equalize their rights, they're the ones that say that you're elitists, that you're condescending. How do Jews, what do Jews have to act that the world will feel that they want to connect everyone and so on? Between themselves, first of all, they have to determine these kinds of good relationships, relations of equality, and it's not being elitists or something, but that this is our natural, innate obligation, that this is how we have to present ourselves toward everyone. We, the Jews, don't have to show the world that we're like them. We'll never work out. It'll look the complete opposite. Like, what do you want? You want to twist me, tell me that you're like me? Every person in the world's asking. Obviously, you're not like me. Jews have to say, yes, we are not like you. In us, there is a plan, a program, an agenda, an understanding, knowledge. We came to show you how to build good, proper, correct relations between all people. We don't have to hide that we're as if like the rest of the world. We have to look at things from a general overview because we're teachers. Yes, we're greater, we're smarter, we're more exalted. We're here in this world to teach all human beings, all nations, how to behave correctly. And then, if you talk this way, straightforward, they will accept it. This is what they're expecting to hear from Jews. And Jews that start showing that, yeah, we're like everyone, like you're saying, that they wanted to make their religion, their entire organization, the United States, for it to be more similar to Americans. And what you get is the complete opposite. They're disregarded. It's gross. It's disgusting. It repels people. One more question. You yourself said that they themselves are very disputed, separated. So if they come and start explaining to the world what is the role of Jews to teach the world, so before that, they have to connect. They have to set an example. Without that, it won't work. How can I turn to the nations of the world and explain to them what is the method of correction? What is the method of how to achieve unity? What will I come with? From a different perspective, on every opportunity, Trump, President Trump, when he turns to the Jewish people in the United States, he relates to them as a nation that belongs to the Israeli nation, to the Israeli country. And especially now, on this occasion of the Day of Atonement, he turns to them saying that their country is the State of Israel. So American Jews, they say that that's anti-Semitism. Yeah. We're not aspiring for Jerusalem, we're aspiring for Washington, obviously. So exactly about that. I examined what happened to the original connection of the Jewish people. About what is the essence? I mean, in the Bible, the word Jerusalem appears 669 times. And Zion appears 154 times. How can you escape that in relation to the Jewish people? I don't know. Ask American Jews. How do they do it? Probably they have a method, a technique. But this is also why they don't like Trump, because of that too. But if you can put things straight, how does it work? They don't want for anyone to remind them that they're Jewish at all. Were it possible to be Christian, most of them would convert to Christianity. And we see this assimilation. It's not that I'm saying things that are true or not. I'm saying what happens in practice. This is how things are. Jews don't want to be Jews because they didn't get the proper education. And the main part of the education, a main part is that they don't feel that they have a destiny, a method, a goal, that they owe something to this world, that what do they exist for? They don't have that. Let me have a good life and leave me alone. That's the problem. There's an argument that the state of Israel does not do enough in order to bring closer the hearts of the Jewish people as one nation, regardless of where Jews are. Is there what to correct? No matter how much the state of Israel invests there, it won't help. Won't. Because they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. They don't want to be a part of it. As much as I talk to Jews in the United States, the most they can do is come here if someone buys them a ticket and hotels and, you know, they come for a field trip for a few days, they walk around from end to end of this small country and fly back. That's it. Or they come to study for a year in a yeshiva or something. Or they come to do a bar mitzvah at the Western Wall, but that's it. That is it. So what's there to talk about? America corrupted them, and I understand them. Were I to be born in the United States, I'd be just like them. But it's good that it's possible to see these things from the outside in, that you can see a different picture. Is there room for optimism of how to improve the situation and how, maybe? Maybe, but through great suffering. Through blows, through pressure, that they will understand. Now this pandemic is starting to take the layers of fat off the entire American society, and especially off Jews, and so they'll stop feeling that paradise is there, and that's the land that Moses has brought them from Egypt directly to Manhattan. This is something that we have to see. Maybe. And of course they have opportunities. To what measure will they realize them? That's a question. To me, it's hard to talk to them. And I understand that this is how their education is. This is how they grew up. For quite some time now, you're explaining about the role of the Jewish people, the reason for anti-Semitism, about what's going on in the United States and will happen. You said that anti-Semitism will rise, but along with it, you said that were you to be born in the United States and live there, you'd be just like them. I see it on my grandchildren, on my relatives that grew up in the United States and in Canada, that they're just like Canadians or Americans. And you also explained that if this situation will continue the way it is, then the American Jews will find their end like it happened in Europe in the Second World War. I don't want to talk in this direction, but this is possible. So my question is then, even if you aren't protected from, were I to be raised there, sure, I'd be like them. My grandchild from Canada is now here in Israel. He's studying in a yeshiva in Jerusalem. There he studies in the university, so he was given a year to study here in a yeshiva. So I see, he is entirely there. He's an American. He doesn't belong to Israel. If so, then how is it possible to explain to them who are they, what is their role, and what might happen if they don't do what they're supposed to? if this, the environment in which you are confines you so much that you become like them. My question is, how can we save them? Only through disseminating the obligation of the Jewish people, the people of Israel, their obligation to the nations of the world, especially in the 21st century, especially in the time of the corona pandemic and what will follow. But it seems as though the environment makes them deaf and blind. How can we open their heart so that something will go in? Time and blows. This is what we saw in history, and this is what nature has. Time and blows. I don't see any other way. Okay, final question, if so. Oh, you can take your time. It's okay. It's a topic that I'd say that if you have other things that you want to bring up, so, yeah, before Norma, she also has questions. In Europe, they got all the possible blows, and still we didn't see their heart opening. In Europe, they had an opportunity to get along correctly, because all the regimes in Europe, and especially the regime in Germany, arranged ORT for them and other such organizations to teach them how to get a profession and get along in Israel and Palestine, and they didn't want it. They could get money to settle down in Israel, and also the Germans themselves were willing to give them money for them to leave Germany, and they didn't wanna. And after they didn't wanna, later, from Providence, it unfolded in such a way that instead of the land of Israel, they were brought to death camps. That's all true. So if those blows didn't help in Europe, then how will the blows help now? But since then, the State of Israel was established, and we exist, and we're disseminating this, the entire matter, and let's hope that they'll hear. Still, there is an immigration from the United States to Israel, and I don't think that they have to come here. I'm not a part of the Jewish agency inviting them to Israel, but I think that specifically there, they have to change there in the United States, and we have what to explain to them and how to organize them. And they have to change, and as a result of that change, they have to show all the American Jews. It's more than you have here in Israel. And also to the American nation in general, and from there to the rest of the world, that there is a solution, that there is a remedy to human suffering, and that this is what they exist for, and start talking about, and open themselves to. And not in order to leave the United States and move to Israel, or to better get along there, but that they're going with the forces of nature in order to explain, what is it all for? Why are we suffering, the entire world? And from day to day, like I said years ago, it will suffer more and more, and Israel will suffer more than everyone. And really now, after 6 months into the coronavirus, we're now really practically first place in the world in relative contagions per capita. Yeah, that's what you said a few months ago. Now, you said that there's no need to move to Israel, that they can stay there. The question is, Does place have a meaning, spiritual meaning, that they remain there? What's the reason? I don't think so. I don't think that today the situation in Israel is better or more convenient or causing change for the better in people than in the United States. The situation in Israel is very bad. The ego here is very strong, and I don't think that people here are willing to listen or change more than there. I think that there, still, the situation is that American Jews can hear what their good future depends on, and that it depends on their correction, the correction of the relations between them, and that by correcting the relations between them, they also draw to that and set an example for the rest of the nations that today America is the true Babylon. So this is the next question. How can we expect or demand for the Jewish Americans to connect if the situation in Israel is so bad? It has nothing to do with the state of Israel. They don't have to get an example from here. No, the state of Israel doesn't have to be an example. God forbid, what kind of example could the state of Israel give? To whom? To what? In what? How? Not here nor there. We're all in exile. Everywhere in the world, we're all in exile. We're in exile of love your neighbor as yourself. We're in exile from our connection. And this is what we have to explain to everyone. And how to reach some kind of closeness between us. And once we will start to be drawn to each other, once we'll start coming closer to each other, all the nations of the world will change their opinion and will also start being drawn to us like to a magnet. We don't even have to explain anything to them or nothing. If we start coming closer, then we include in us all the negative and positive forces of humanity. And if we will begin to above the negative forces to come closer by way of love covers all crimes, then by this we will influence all the nations of the world, will simply draw them to ourselves, and they will feel that then they will feel the Creator's attitude toward the Jewish people. Coming back to Zion. Zion means coming back, means exiting our connection, and that we have to come back to a state where we're all connected. That's what Zion means. And to the measure to which we work on our connection, on connecting with each other, the Jewish people, meaning by that we will draw the rest of the nations to that. So there are two Jewish centers in the world that can act independently for the correction of the world. Yes, but in Israel we can barely do anything because American Jews, I don't know what they're doing there now, maybe they're engaged in the elections that they'll have in a month. And in Israel, they're also engaged in politics and protests. It's a problem. It is a problem. In the meantime, the situation is really deteriorating with the coronavirus. And with Israel, the situation's deteriorating. Maybe if you can, in conclusion, tell us, if you can give us something that we can work in to change direction from negative to positive. I'm happy that we have this meeting because you write in English and in Spanish. These are the two main languages in the United States. And I really hope that you will communicate this spirit that you got from this talk to all the Jews and non-Jews in the United States about how is it possible to change the situation nonetheless and to be saved of this pandemic and the hate that's really breaking up American society. And if you do it correctly, we will nonetheless be able to change something. Do you think that the pandemic can help open the ears of American Jews? Undoubtedly. Not now, but soon and more, along with our dissemination. And even though that we're barely heard, but still, we will be heard. We will be heard. It'll happen. It's forbidden for us to despair. Still, the only remedy is in our hands, that in the meantime, no one wants to use it because man's ego rejects it, doesn't want it, like it happens in many cases where, you know, ill people don't want to take a certain medicine or something, but later they start breaking and accepting it. So I really have great hope that you will publicize this knowledge and that we will succeed. Undoubtedly, we will try. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you in advance. Thank you, Norma. Thank you, Chaim. Thank you for being with us, for watching. And see you on our next talk. Good luck.